We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us as we get rolling on a Tuesday. Hope you had a good holiday weekend and that you were able to connect with the Memorial Day holiday yesterday. Enjoyed your time off with perhaps a little reflection on the meaning of the day, steps being taken towards the return of sports, albeit at times stutter steps. We had an incredible golf match in the rain that was glorious. We'll get to that as well. Shane Dennis rolling in. We're going to start with a little college baseball and some intriguing college baseball this morning, I think.
Yeah, and what we and really our entire lives had surround Memorial Day weekend for most of us. You know, conference tournaments wrapping up, and then Memorial Day was college baseball's reveal, their moment in the spotlight, the selection show. And it didn't happen yesterday, of course, because we canceled the season. So, good friend of the show and college baseball analyst Mike Rooney and the folks at Perfect Game did a reveal anyway. And it had an interesting twist to it. And, you know, I know you and me, most of the time over the years, were probably traveling on Memorial Day, you know, going back from, sure, like, the Valley Tournament, for example, and in many instances knowing that Wichita State was probably in or clinch because they got the auto bid because they won the tournament. And, you know, in a pretty big rush, if we weren't already here, to get back to Wichita and dig into the watch parties, see where Wichita State would go and, you know, things like that. So that, for pure college baseball fans, was taken away this weekend. So in some way, in many ways, really, and for me, it was a weird weekend. It was nice to have the extra day. It was nice, as you said, to reflect on the meaning for the holiday. But for a lot of us, certainly in Wichita, that care anything about baseball, it was about, all right, wrapping up the conference tournament and seeing what comes up next. And that was eerily silent yesterday. So it's a little different. So here in just a little bit, we will get Mike Rooney back on, and he revealed a field of 68. So he did a little tweaking to the field, and he has a first four that he'll talk about a little bit. He had the top 16 overall seeds. There were a couple from the American, and we'll let you know we'll let Mike let you know if Wichita State made his 68-team field. Two teams from the American were in the top 16 overall. That's ECU and actually Central Florida he liked a lot. Tulane also made the field from the American. The number one overall seed projected was UCLA. The other top four were Florida, Louisville, and Ole Miss. A bunch of teams that Wichita State either played or were going to play made this Perfect Game field, or at least have played in the recent past. Really familiar foes, TCU, Oklahoma State, UT Arlington. The only team that Wichita State played this year through the first 15 games was Northwestern State, and that's who they opened with. And Northwestern State got the four seed in Oxford to take on number one and number four overall seed Ole Miss. But Tulane was a two in New Orleans. Grand Canyon, who the Shockers played last year. They were a 4 seed in Phoenix to take on top seed Arizona State. Oklahoma, DBU, a lot of usual suspects made the field again this year. As well as, let's see, Arkansas, of course, Texas Tech. So he did a little tweaking of it, and we'll talk to him about it, and having the field of 68 and where the first four were played. I think the concept is really cool, and whether it will happen or not is up for a lot of debate. And also, he had 32 hosts, and that was a change. And although it's been kicked around to having 32 hosts in this, meaning you would have not only pods, but you'd have to win just simply a best-of-three series to move on. So if you won your first matchup, it would be a best-of-three. You'd move on and take on the winner that you're paired up in that pod. And then if you won that, you go to the Super Regionals. And as we know, that's what the Super Regional format is. And we jump on the KFH hotline right now, and Mike Rooney's joining us again. Mike, thanks for taking the time this morning. First of all, how weird was yesterday? I know you filled the void with your field of 68, but the for real part, and Bruce and I were just talking about it, first time in our adult lives that we had Memorial Day weekend pretty much open.
Yeah, it was, you know, the part that was normal for me, guys, was I still couldn't sleep. The Sunday night before Memorial Day is a no-sleep night for me. It's like my Christmas Eve, so excited to see the brackets. So that part was the same. But, yeah, it was, I would say the last 2 weeks. You know, the conference tournament week has always been one of my favorite college baseball weeks, and then that leads right into the selection show. So, and then, you know, of course, this weekend's going to be hard with no bases loaded, but – yeah, it was wild times, and this really is a special time of the year for college baseball fans.
All right, Mike. Well, you did some painstaking work. At least I would imagine it was somewhat painstaking. There's a certain degree of obviousness to the whole thing because we've got a lot of familiar faces. But I was very interested in the work that you did. In between, on the mortar, if you will, between the bricks that we know are going to be there, what were as you delved into this, some of the things that you found particularly interesting in your research to fill this field?
Well, I would say, you know, first of all, it was really, you know, I played around with the format, which was super fun. You know, it was kind of cool to be czar of college baseball for a few minutes. So, you know, I did the first four from basketball, which was super fun. And in my mind, you know, expenses be damned, I sent those eight teams to Omaha to TD Ameritrade to play that single elimination playing game. And then we did the 32 host idea where everything's a three-game series and you spread the tournament around to so many more parts of the country. But I would say, you know, when I started to do this, here was the trickiest part. This is almost impossible to do under the best of conditions. But if you think about it, the first part of the season, I think I can make an argument, is the least important because the really good teams get better as the season goes on. The really good teams really emerge amongst their peers, which is conference play. We didn't get to see any of that. So, you know, it really became a semi-educated guess. So that was the hard part. Still very fun, but yeah, it was, you know, I had 30% of the season to go on, and it was probably the wrong 30%.
Yeah, right. 15 total games, at least in Wichita State's case. Now, your pod idea that you got here, I'm just using it as an example, Runes. In the Louisville, Kentucky, in the Louisville pod, it had Louisville and Davidson. And then in Stillwater, it's Oklahoma State and UT Arlington. So the winner of those would meet where?
So so Louisville plays Davidson three-game series. Oklahoma State plays UT Arlington three-game series. The highest seed that survives hosts the next best of three. And then, so if you think about chalk, it would be Louisville hosting Oklahoma State. And then on the other side of the pod, UCSB would be hosting Auburn. And then, you know, if chalk emerges again, it would be Louisville hosting Santa Barbara in the Super Regional. But you can imagine, this thing could get mangled up seven ways to Sunday.
Yeah.
So did you work on, you just talked about the 30% of the season that is probably the least important. Did you just work on that as your basis, or did you go ahead and take some journalistic license kind of figuring out how the season might have played out and use a little of that maybe as well?
Yeah, for sure that the latter two. You know, I gave some credence to what I thought of the roster, especially roster depth. You know, like for instance, Notre Dame was a team I left out who was 11-2, and that, you know, I went there, I played there. That hurt my feelings to do that. But you know, like they had swept North Carolina on the road, which was really impressive, but they were really limited on the mound. They really had five guys they could trust. So you felt like in a very deep ACC that could catch up to them. You know, I think the Shocks are a good example where, let me say it with the Pac-12, I have three Pac-12 teams and 11 SEC teams. That is super out of balance, but the SEC dominated the non-conference. And then if you look at the Pac-12, they've got four under 500 teams, three teams with RPIs in the 200s. Not that RPIs are effective at this point, but you know, RPI in the 200 is a problem. And so I started thinking about the Pac-12. If you're the fourth place team out there, where are you going to get quality wins that can impress the committee? If you don't beat Arizona, Arizona State, or UCLA, which is going to be hard to do, you got a bunch of empty calories on your resume. So yeah, I tried to think through some of those things, which is tricky too.
Talking to Mike Rooney, college baseball analyst. We didn't have the usual Memorial Day selection show and reveal that gave college baseball teams their moment in the spotlight before a road to Omaha and a run to TD Ameritrade. So Runes made a field of 68 on his – well, we'll say on your own. We'll get to the Wichita State if they made it in just a second. But who helped you on this? Was this solo or did you get some help?
Yeah, me and my dogs did it. It was me and my
okay.
team. That was the committee.
Yeah. All right, that was the committee. All right.
Yeah. So you know, like obviously I read a lot of other people's stuff. I read the guys at Baseball America. I listen to their podcast. Same thing with the D1 guys. Patrick Ebert at Perfect Game. We've always done our rankings together. So, you know, in theory, all of those people influence my thoughts. But I will take full responsibility for for the errors of my ways on this one.
All right, so the first four games of what you thought were the final four in, right? And that would be Michigan, mm-hmm. Wake Forest, South Carolina, and Georgia Southern. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's it. Yep, those are the final four at-large bids, yes.
All right, did you keep track of the first four out, and where's Wichita State?
Yeah, so Wichita State would be in my first four out. So my first four out... I'll give you 4.5. My first four out were Alabama. That was hard. Alabama, I think, is 15-1. Dominated the non-conference, but very young team. And I worried about. They've done this. They've dominated the non-conference and then gotten hammered pretty good in the SEC. Notre Dame, as I mentioned, the Shocks. I had Wichita State in that first four out, and then really, I would say Northeastern was hard to leave out, but USC was the fourth Pac-12 team. They were 10-5. They'd beaten TCU and Vanderbilt. But again, they were off to a great start under Jason Gill, their new head coach. I really like the direction of where they're headed, but I was skeptical of how that was going to play out once they got into conference play. I mean, this is crazy to say, guys. USC has been to one regional since 2005. I mean, it's insane what's happened to that program. But I like where they're headed under Jason Gill.
All right. So as you delved into this, and I mean, I'm looking at the field, but who were your surprises? Who were the ones that even you, and as someone that is immersed into college baseball, kind of did a little, that's interesting?
Yeah, I would say, you know, the first four teams, you know, the Wake Forest, Michigan, South Carolina, Georgia Southern, those were like South Carolina was interesting. They're 12-4. I think they're really talented. Their best position player, kind of like the Shocks, I guess you could argue, is a true freshman, a kid named Brennan Malone, who's probably a first round pick in a couple years. He had only played five games, though, because of injury. They've got a first round arm, the Carmen Majinski kid. So that was. I mean, trying to get an 11th SEC team in there is a little tricky. But, you know, one of the things I guess maybe surprised, I would change the verb to, man, like that's pretty cool, is that like I had two WCC teams. I thought I could have had three. I had, you know, the Sun Belt, I had three teams. I thought that was a really good year for the Sun Belt. The Colonial, I had two teams from that league. I thought it was a really good year in that league as well. So I think, you know, kind of maybe if I stay with the word surprise, I was pleasantly surprised at the depth of college baseball, even though I was really heavy on the SEC and the ACC. Man, there were really good teams all over the country, and that was neat to see.
College baseball analyst Mike Rooney joining us. You were pretty sweet on the AAC. ECU you liked, the Central Florida among the top 16 seeds, and you also put Tulane in the field. So am I missing anybody? Was that the three? And the Shocks were the first four out, so pretty strong potential year for the AAC.
For sure, yeah. I mean, like, it's only a matter of time before the AAC sends a team to Omaha, and this could have been the year. You know, UCF had swept Auburn on the road, which was, you know, you just don't see that happening to SEC teams. East Carolina was off to a very good start. They're pitching heavy, but the position player group had come around nicely. You know, Tulane under Travis Jewett had a real resurgence. They were 15-2, very, very offensive, and much better on the mound. They got some good JUCO arms in there that have made an impact. And then, you know, to me, the Shocks in Connecticut. I saw Connecticut play. They're very interesting. You know, Connecticut's the perfect example. They're always a different team in April and May than when you see them early.
Yeah.
But, you know, we didn't get to see them late. So
they played a killer early, didn't they? It seemed like they had a juggernaut.
Yeah, they beat Michigan 3 out of 4 games. So I like the talent on the field better for Michigan, but Connecticut outplayed them. Now, Michigan had some key players that hadn't played yet because of injury. But, yeah, I think the AAC was going to be really, really good again. You know, Memphis was off to an unusually good start. I'll tell you the two things that hurt the AAC in the beginning, South Florida got off to a really poor start, mm-hmm. and Houston as well. You know, Houston was uncharacteristically 6-9 and lost a home series to Youngstown State. So those two teams were hurting the league a little bit, but the top of the league was very good.
Illinois was interesting, too. They had two wins over highly ranked teams, but were only 8-5. They kind of fit into your classification of, you know, that's a team that's going to be better as the season warms up. I've always been intrigued by what they've done at Illinois, but I digress. College baseball and where we move forward now, Mike, is this the opening that people need to move and push the season back a little bit and really reconfigure college baseball to be more of a summer season rather than a late winter, early spring kind of season? Or is this just, or do you think that there's no chance for that? Or do you think there should be a chance for that?
Yeah, I'm in favor of it. You know, I think everyone that follows college baseball, we've had Eric Bakich of Michigan is really kind of the leader of this, but the new college baseball model that he's put out there for everyone to see, I would encourage anyone to read it. And, you know, I think the bottom line, guys, is that this is going to be really tricky times in college athletics financially. And it is interesting, if you think about it, we've taken baseball and turned it into a winter sport, which makes mm-hmm. kind of zero sense. And so, there, you know, there's from arm care to finances to academics, the proposal makes a ton of sense. There's way more positives than negatives. MLB kind of hinting that they're wanting to move the draft back. They're not as keen on the short season league. So I do think this is the window to take advantage of that. I've not been a huge proponent of this in the past, but, you know, it's a 4-week move back. It's, you know, that's a big move, but not as drastic as some of the other proposals, I don't think. And so, I would encourage anyone to read it. It's fascinating. I think they've done a lot of great work there. And a lot of the objections that you would come into it with, into that discussion naturally, I really feel like they've solved.
Mike, thanks for doing the Field of 68, and thanks for joining, jumping back on with us. Appreciate
it. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Always a pleasure.
Awesome. Mike Rooney, thanks, college Mike. Baseball analyst for ESPN, perfectgame.org is where he has his fictitious Field of 68, where he has a first four, and they play at TD Ameritrade Ballpark instead of Dayton, like in basketball. So he, as he said, he took some liberties and was basically a one-man wrecking crew when it came to that, but He had a fictitious Field of 68 that he released on Memorial Day, which is normally reserved for the real thing for college baseball. All right, what did we learn about Tiger Woods, Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson, and Peyton Manning in a match, Bruce, that Mother Nature tried its best to make sure it didn't happen, but I thought...
still fantastic.
It was... Dare I say it was everything we predicted and wanted and thought it would be?
Absolutely.
It was all right.
And maybe not entirely for the reasons that we thought, but it was just, well, we'll get into it in a moment, really one of the most satisfying things that we've seen over the last 2-3 months. Granted, there hasn't been a lot to compare it to.
Not at all.
But you get my point. That is, we continue here on a Tuesday edition. Shane Dennis, yours truly. Jack Chambers runs the show. We'll be back in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.